Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
This is Susie on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in and to have this opportunity to really speak to you about some very important issues of today. But as always, we like to give this to God in prayer because without Him, we know what we do is nothing. So I always love to turn it over to our co-host, Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And before we pray, I had just come across a quote by a great American patriot, James Otis. And he said these words back in 1761 when he was dealing with the tyranny of the British government. But it's applicable to what we face today, what with the United Nations sending in Election Day monitors to monitor our polls, which is unconstitutional and illegal. But anyway, James Otis said, "Our cause is a cause of the highest dignity. It is nothing less than to maintain the liberty with which heaven itself has made us free." So freedom lovers all over this country are going to be going to the polls November 6th. And voting rightly, voting in a wise and virtuous man, and one who will uphold biblical values. And, of course, I'm talking about Governor Mitt Romney and Vice Presidential Candidate Paul Ryan. So let's bring this radio show and all of our concerns to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you, O God, for your many blessings of this day. Father, for life itself and for eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we thank you for your love, your care, your compassion. Lord, that you watch over your people. You do indeed watch over your people. In fact, your word says that your eyes roam to and fro over the entire earth to show your might on behalf of your people. We thank you, Father, for your protection, your provision, just your loving kindness, Father, your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you are who you are and that you do what you do. You are God. There is no other. There is none above you. There is none beside you. There is none like unto thee, O God, and you are our Father. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be on the radio show and Father, to be able to reach people with your truth. Father, to be able to reach people with the wonderful blessings that you've given us in this country, the people, Father, that you raised up to serve you and to serve our country. We thank you, Father, and we pray, Father, that we will learn more, Father, learn more of you and from you, and, Father, be able to share it with more and more people, how good you are to us, O God. And we love you so very much, and we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. And I don't see our guest yet, Miss Barbara. So hopefully he is going to be able to join us after all, unless something, you know, has happened. Hopefully I didn't get him mixed up as to the date and the time. But we've got a lot of things going on. I sure will, Miss Barbara. Thank you so much.
Okay, I will carry on with a few great quotes from some of our great founding fathers, if that's okay. Let me follow up
please.
On James Otis. James Otis was a great American patriot who actually worked for the British ministry. And because of the writs of assistance that were being given to various ones in another part of the British ministry, these writs of assistance were general search warrants. It did not have to say on the writ what place was to be inspected and searched. It did not say on the writ the name of the person, so that they were very generalized and they could be used to enter any home or business by anyone under the authority of the British king and parliament, and with the force of law. And they were searching for smuggled goods. And so anyway, James Otis was a prominent lawyer, and he resigned his prestigious position in order to be able to argue in court against these horrible writs of assistance that could be used in for various reasons, for revenge against someone, or just all sorts of evil. And so he resigned from his post in the British ministry so that he could argue against these. And the way John Adams put it, and James Otis was a mentor to John Adams, but John Adams said that James Otis spoke powerfully in a five-hour speech arguing for freedom, and John Adams, the way he put it, was that Otis was a flame of fire, just a flame of fire in his five-hour speech for freedom and against these writs of assistance. By the way, our Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, our Fourth Amendment in the Bill of Rights, has to do exactly with what Otis was talking about. It's because of the groundwork laid in this area by James Otis that the wording is such in the Fourth Amendment that we will have the privacy, that citizens will have privacy in our papers, in our persons, on our persons, in our papers, on our property. And it is a guarantee of freedom in that Fourth Amendment that we will not be searched without a search warrant, which is only given in the case of witnesses to, and that there has to be probable cause for any type of search warrant to be issued against an American citizen. And in those search warrants, in our world today, because of that Fourth Amendment, it is required that the name of the person be on the search warrant, that the place to be searched is to be, the address is to be on that search warrant. And we have James Otis, a great American patriot, to thank for that. James Otis was a really interesting man, too. And after his argument against the British ministry. He was dining in a restaurant when he was attacked by some British soldiers who really beat him terribly with the butts of their guns. And it took a long, long time for him to recover from that assault. And he didn't completely recover. Actually, he would kind of, at various times, he would kind of go off mentally. And he was such a lover of freedom and so much involved in the Sons of Liberty and the Committees of Correspondence, along with Sam Adams and Paul Revere and that entire group of great men. But he prayed and he asked the Lord to if he would ever be a hinder to the cause of freedom, or because of him going off mentally, he asked the Lord just to take him home like lightning, fast as lightning. And that's exactly what happened to James Otis. He was in his home in a chair and was struck by lightning and taken home to be with the Lord. And James Otis, a great American patriot. Diana?
Hi, Miss Barbara. I am so sorry, Miss Barbara. I do not see his... Oh, there he is.
Okay.
I think we have Mr. Frank Dillman. Is that you, Mr. Dillman?
That's me, and I apologize to you, Miss Diane. I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Well, we're a grassroots, so I probably made that mistake, Mr. Frank, but we're so glad anyway.
I don't know if you did regardless, we can rock and roll if you'd like.
Oh, we can. We're really looking forward to this topic, and I had asked you also to maybe look over some of the other amendments, but we have a lot of experts that we know, so we happened to ask one of them on this, so we'll go over it first, and then we'll get into your thing. But I thought, that would be a good thing for everybody. I know we're right here within a week and a half, Ms. Barbara, and everybody's starting to think, well, am I going to vote on this amendment or not? You know, it's not just the presidential election, it's all these amendments is what you're going to cover. But Mr. Dillon, Ms. Barbara Moore, our co-host, I'm going to let her say hello to you.
All right.
Hi,
thank
Frank.
You. And please call me Frank. I'm sorry.
Yes, and I will call you Frank. And I had the pleasure of meeting you when you came down to Dothan to our Wiregrass Republican Club. And presented a very, very enlightening and informative program for us, and talking about Forever Wild. And I am voting against Amendment 1 with all the information I have that you've given us.
Well, I tell folks, I was in Tuskegee passing out a bunch of literature yesterday. And there was still a lot of folks that I first asked them, I said, if you've ever heard of Forever Wild, and I would say easily 25-30% said no, and the ones who did answer yes, I said, well, have you heard of it beyond 2011? Because I've been writing a lot into the Tuskegee paper of late, so they probably have read some of my writings, and majority of the folks who answered yes to that first question answered no to the second one. And I says, that program has been in existence for 20 years, since 1992, and you've only heard about it in the last year and a half because of the static that we have been creating. Where has this program been in the last 20, or the last, from year 1 through 18? It's been a well-kept secret.
Yeah. And what have they done with all the money we gave them?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
I said, what have they done with all the money we gave them?
Well, we didn't give it to them. If we had given it to them, we would have stopped it. They were taking it, as far as I'm concerned. But they purchased properties and acquired properties upwards of 227,000 acres. And what a lot of folks don't understand or know, and I did not until very late into this campaign, that this state of Alabama has over 2,053,000 acres in conservation, animal habitat, recreational land, everything that the state is asking for the authority to purchase more land. So with 6.4% of our land mass in recreation, conservation, environmental land, I really cannot see where we could justify spending upwards of $300 million over the next 20 years, more land for more government land that we may eventually be locked off in this ugly economy that we're in.
Well, Frank.
Thank you.
That is so good to give us guests. Ms. Barbara and I are always astounded at who he sends our way. And so you coming on board just this week is really very timely because I know we've got so many concerns. But I'm going to go ahead. We would like to re-air this Saturday. We've really had so many good interviews this week that I just have to urge the people, Ms. Barbara, they really need to listen to the podcast that they have missed because every day has been really spectacular and full of just awesome information. And this Friday, tomorrow, we're going to have Henry Burke, and he's going to do a breakdown financial-wise for us of really of the Obama and or the Common Core standards. It's another one of those mandates from the federal government that unfunded, I think, but everybody needs to get informed, and he's going to break it down. So we've had some really great interviews, and yesterday was really good, too. And Monday, Finn Lawson from Ohio, Mr. Frank, was on with us, and he was giving us an insight onto what is concerning the citizens of Ohio, and it's really over. I think it's going to be an issue of the teachers. Where are the teachers going to stand on their votes? Because as you can note from Obama's speeches, he's very heavy on education, and whenever he talks heavily about something, there's something in it for him. But anyway, I'm going to go over this real briefly because I think everybody needs to get on board and just kind of get an idea of which way should they vote. But on yours, we've got on our website, cityonhill.tv, www.cityonhill.tv, I posted an article. And I got on Alabama November 6, 2012 ballot perspective on how to vote and why on certain amendments. And I've got here a link also from Liberty Council. This is going to be an article that people can really download, make a copy to take to their churches. And on the back side of it, we're asking them to print also a link from Liberty Council to show them what they can and cannot do. And giving that information is, of course, their right. So I think it's going to take the church. I know I saw CNN bragging almost. These folks were just bragging at the Obama really ground game. They've got so many headquarters. It's like, you know, the others are so behind. But I got to thinking, Mr. Frank, Ms. Barbara, you know, the ground game for conservative issues to go forward really is the churches. And we have inundated this nation with churches, but that we've got to go to work. We who are Christians have got to go to work, and one of the easy things we can do is make printouts of good information and share the information like Mr. Frank's going to share. But Amendment Number 1, I have got your website on that, so people could read. I did quote something from your website. I quoted the part where you said, "Let the truth be known. Forever wild is not financed with tax dollars. However, the money used to acquire these lands are in fact our dollar from our Alabama Trust Fund, and should be used for the benefit of our citizens. Hunting is purported to be a major attraction to forever wild land. However, most people do not know of forever wild, and hunting is severely restricted. And you've got here, Mulberry Fork Wildlife Management Area offers a deer hunt only on January 27th and 28th. And we put, please read more on your website, notforeverwild.com. Amendment 2, we've got vote no. The reasoning that I was given was this gives tax incentives that's not available to in-state companies, so it is unfair. Amendment 4, vote yes, take out the old language. As I was told, it doesn't really hurt anything. It cleans up the language. It doesn't add any new taxes. Amendment 6,
may I interject,
vote yes.
May I interject a thought there?
Sure.
I really, sincerely do not trust my legislators. And I am voting against that amendment to take out the language. for one primary reason. One, the federal government has mandated that that language has been useless, and it's been useless for years. And to suddenly decide that they want to take that language out now, when in fact some of the black organizations have come out against it, I really feel, as I have all along in this issue, that our Constitution should be a historical document. We're striking this, striking that, at this year or next year, 50, 100 years from now, nobody will know what was in it or anything else of this nature. And in reality, how are they going to run all over the it's like taking those seven titles from Lance Armstrong. They're still in the history books. It's there. You cannot run around every law library in the nation or the state and strike those few words. So, and really, if Arthur Orr, who sponsored this bill, he said he just wanted to clean it up to take out those few words, I don't see the validity or the necessity in doing that if nobody is really angry with it at this point in time. The blacks have come out. They want to leave it alone. The whites, I think we defeated, well, I shouldn't say we, but the voters a few years ago defeated this once again. So I'm coming out strong. And I also have I have another website. It's frankdillman.com. And that's where I have my positions on those ballot issues on the elections page. But I don't necessarily agree with coming out in favor of that.
Well, that's a great point, Mr. Dillon. No, there were some pointers that someone gave me as to why the schools are coming out against it. Have you heard about why?
Well, I heard the AEA come out against it, and I've read some of this stuff. But to be honest with you, I am so focused on this Forever Wild. What I read, I was satisfied with the time. Or the reading, and it went in one ear and out the other, or across the eyes, and it's gone. Cannot quote.
Of a red flag to me. Whenever I hear the AEA is for something, you know, is for saying something different, then I'm wondering what does the AEA have in it, because it's usually going to mean Texas. But anyway, okay, that's a good one. Now, let me get on to Amendment 6. It says now, of course, I think everybody agrees with this, it's to prevent Alabama from being compelled to be part of Obamacare. And I think everybody that's got some sense will vote yes, right? Okay, we hope. We hope. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
and,
I believe
which,
so.
You know, we did put a website here. We have Ms. Barbara, you want to talk about Grace Marie Turner, who talks about this a little bit?
Well, yes, one of the things that Mrs. Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute has told us, and she's been researching and for many years since the early 1990s when Hillary Clinton was going to come out with her health care package. She really teaches so many, even in Congress, about Obamacare, what's in it, and focuses on free market solutions to any health care problem. But Grace Marie Turner has stated that in Obamacare, there's the part that is the Medicaid expansion is going to severely hurt the poorest among us, because there will be many more people on the Medicaid rolls, and funding and sources, doctors are limited. The medical help available will be very limited, and so those already on Medicaid are going to have a harder time rather than an easier time with Obamacare. So I think that is a really important point on Obamacare.
And you're correct. Now, there was an attorney, constitutional attorney out of Faulkner University, that spoke with my Tea Party, and has spoken around the state, I gather, maybe concentrated around Montgomery area. But he said really it's a done deal. The state is being mandated by the federal government, and that's true. But he said we still need to vote yes for this to convey the message. And he also stressed, too, that this bill by Obamacare does not provide a guarantee for anyone to get to health care. It provides for the health care, but there's no guarantee that person sitting over there in that park bench or this one sitting over there in a Rolls Royce is going to have access to health care. And that's exactly what you just said.
Well, it's because of that independent payment advisory board, too, Ms. Barbara and Mr. Frank. You know, that is so horrible when you have an advisory board that's going to decide, death panel is going to decide whether or not you can have that service, you can have that procedure. And, we know that when people apply for their disability, you know, 9 times out of 10, first of all, they're going to be denied. So can you imagine? With this, and they're running out of money, the majority of people will end up being denied for what is so needed. So, that's a tough one. Amendment 7, now I think most everybody would want to allow for secret ballots and union votes, so that's a yes. And Amendment 8, legislatures will not give themselves a pay raise during their term. What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Dillman?
Well, to be honest with you, Barbara and Diana, I have waffled on that one. Currently, I am voting no on that. And like I said, I had the reinforcements on my personal website, frankdillman.com, on the election section. And my concern is, in the legislation, it states that the legislators will not be able to vote themselves a pay raise. Well, that's commendable, but my argument is, I believe it was in the Constitution that these guys were supposed to be paid $10 a day, and what did they do in 2007 on the very, very first day of the legislative session? They passed a bill, worked around the legalities of our Constitution to give themselves an expense allowance that everybody in the alphabet spread across in the legislature from A to Z all receives the same expense allowance, so therefore they receive nothing but a pay raise. So on that note, I believe, and I'm going to vote no, I believe the legislators should repeal this thing outright. One piece of legislation, say repeal it, it's done, and then let's work forward on this thing. And I also have concerns, too, and that currently the majority of their expenses are covered in that almost $54,000 a year that they receive in compensation. If we go with this new plan, their salary will drop down to about $41,000, and I think it's a good tie how they've done that to the mean salary of a family or an individual or whatever. It's a family, but at that point in time, they will be now eligible for expense reimbursement. And that is also a concern of mine. And so might they eventually, and like I said, it's my lack of honesty for the legislature. So if they drop down to 41 and they're able to now apply and be reimbursed for expenses, might there be abuse for this later on down the road? Might they be making more than $54,000 a year in a couple more years? So I don't trust this bill, and I don't trust the majority of the legislators, and so therefore I'm going to vote no on this thing for those reasons.
Well, I think that's one thing that was said also was shared was that point that, you really sounds good, but then on the other hand, like you're saying, they have another way. So it sounds to me like we need to have another bill where that expense account is dealt with a lot better. How about Amendment 9? What are your thoughts on Amendment 9?
9 and 10, I'm voting no on both of them because along with Amendment 2, I was on WAKA a couple of nights ago, the television station. And they had me on there speaking about Forever Wild, why we don't need it. And I stressed to the reporter there, and it was on television, I'm glad they kept that segment, that the state is broke. The governor is running around the state right now promoting Amendment Number 2. I heard a young lady from the governor's office speak there in Prattville after a talk that I did, and she gave a very, very good case for the support of the amendment. But as I mentioned on that television interview, and I stand by it, ladies, the state's broke. There's three pieces of legislation or three proposed amendments on this Constitution dealing with state finance. Where is any one of those individuals, including the governor, stating we realize that we're asking we're addressing state finance three times on this ballot? Why don't the state come behind and defeat Forever Wild? We can save that $300 million over the next 20 years, and therefore that would lessen our load, and maybe we can ease up on some of the screaming of the fire in the movie theater for some of these three constitutional amendments. There again, I just see the government, what they did on the 18th of September, and I read it. I just put it on my website today. Moody's, with the bond agency, they offered some cautious words to the state of Alabama after the voters approved that 18th September ballot issue. So therefore, it wasn't a downgrade, but it was some cautionary words, and we're running around looking for more money. When is this going to?
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Franken. I think there's a disconnect because I think that, you know, it's like at the same legislative session, me and Ms. Barbara were just really shocked about the $100 million bond issue they approved for iPads for 9th grade through 12.
I haven't heard of that. I got something from somebody recently. I haven't looked into that, and one of the things, too, ladies, that I need to tell you and all of your listeners, everything that I speak of, I can document with backup authority references and things of this nature. So though that I would not put it past our legislator to do that, when I received that, and I don't remember if I received it from Diana or somebody else from down there.
It might have been me, Robert.
Okay. Well, I hadn't been able to spend the time to look into it where I would actually feel comfortable rendering an opinion on it. And that's not being disrespectful to you or anybody else. This is just Frank Dillman. I like to know exactly what I'm talking about and feeling confident in what I'm speaking about. So I don't really have an opinion on that other than If it's money that's being spent elsewhere, other than for the greater good of our society, I'm opposed to it.
Well, Mr. Frank, I think me and Ms. Barbara, since we've been doing a lot of interviews on Common Core, it is all tied down to that. It is to the pretense that it's going to save us money for books, you know, going to e-books, tablets, and all that. But it's all part of this thing that you're probably hearing more and more. The drumbeat's getting louder. Even the president talked about it, race to the top. All that is part of this national standards or Common Core standards. So, but anyway, we'll deal with that another day. It's an ongoing topic for us, right, Ms. Barbara?
Well, yes, that's right. And, you know, while we have Frank with us, I'd like to go back to that First Amendment proposal about Forever Wild and funding it, refunding it with, I suppose that $300 million over 20 years is again from the oil and gas reserves, which belongs to the people of Alabama.
It doesn't come directly from there. And it doesn't really matter. You're correct and you're not totally correct. Where you're most correct is that it is our money, regardless of where it comes from and how it gets to us. It is our money. The money is actually the Gas and Oil Trust Fund collects the royalties from the Gulf. 1% of that comes directly to the maintenance fund for the stewardship account for Forever Wild. The 99% of that is then moved on. I look at the Gas and Oil Trust Fund basically as a conduit. It's just a pipeline. Money comes in one end and goes out the other end. But where Forever Wild is actually funded, it's funded from the Alabama Trust Fund, and that's where the 18th September money is coming from.
Right, which it does belong to us. And, you know,
yes, ma'am.
People in Alabama have even heard of Forever Wild. That would mean that they haven't participated in the benefits of Forever Wild, and it seems to me like the only people benefiting from the Forever Wild land and all their acquisitions and so forth are those who run it and who are collecting salaries from their organization and the benefits. Do we actually know, do we have an organizational chart that shows us who works for Forever Wild, how they can be contacted? I understand they are hard to contact, hard to get up with. How much they're being paid, where this money is going, exactly where the money is going, and also specifically and exactly who actually benefits from the Forever Wild organization and all that they're doing.
Well, only yesterday, you may have, and I hope you did, you got a and I don't know, maybe through me or somebody else, there's a young lady that 17 years old in high school that did a very good couple-minute video in asking us voters to turn this thing back. And that video generated a lot of inquiries, and I received several inquiries yesterday basically asking the same thing that you're asking now. And one person proposed, well, there's sweetheart deals. And that's where I like to speak with full honesty and not lean one way or the other from the truth. And I believe, and it's only my opinion, that somebody out there or some group are making money on this thing Forever Wild, excluding this campaign, because this campaign, there I can document people or in organizations that are making money on this campaign. But there is one concern, several of us, and I know no less than 11 pieces of correspondence that were sent to the Forever Wild group, one most recently, I think it was to a friend of some sort like that, and none of us have been received any responses. And the Alabama Open Records Law provides for us to communicate with our individuals, elected officials, and department heads and things of this nature, and they're obligated to write and reply back. However, it doesn't give them a time frame. So maybe we will hear from these individuals on the 7th of November. And I intend to see if I can push something in the legislature this year to give them a specific time frame to respond. However, and there's one example that could lean, but it was typical government. It's buried very, very well. There's a large tract of land in Walker County that I have a picture of on my website, a couple of pictures, one from Don Casey doing an overlay of from a Google map. This is a large tract of land that Forever Wild is leasing from an owner. However, the owner went through a third party, and that third party is the one that has actually, I guess, signed the contract with the state, Forever Wild. This land is being leased for 94 years, and they actually have active pumping gas rigs on the property. Don took some video pictures, and I took some still pictures, and I have some pictures on my website and my brochures. And the argument that, and plus two, there's a lot of evidence of using herbicides around these wellheads. Well, if you're going to be an environmental group, why use herbicide sprays? And if you're going to be an environmental group under the guise that this is Forever Wild, then why have a lease for 94 years? And I asked, unfortunately, there was a new member of my Tea Party, and I was going off about this one night. My poor Tea Party puts up with me every Tuesday night on this stuff. So I asked, I said, it is my gut feeling that 94 years, might this be about the time that those wells might begin to dry up? And this new member, he said, I worked on those rigs up there. I'm a retired engineer. And he says, and you're probably very correct in that assessment, Frank. So there is possibly a sweetheart deal in that. But having written letters to Forever Wild and expecting a reply, it's really a waste of my time at this point in time to sit down and compose another letter to them and ask for that specific information. I don't know who in the state would reinforce our argument, but
who has oversight
of the that would have to be the Secretary of State, for far as I'm concerned, for
we need the to
elections.
Go through her then. We need to go through her.
And she's getting inundated as well from other positions, and there's been instances where I tried to call before the 18th of September ballot issue, and there is a connection. There is still a connection between Forever Wild and that ballot issue, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, if we're learned. And I angered the Secretary of State's chief of staff, and I also angered a woman in the governor's office, because I believe they were stonewalling us. They didn't want to provide me the answers that I was asking for, and I will publicly state right now, because of that and the Secretary of State. Now, there is a lady in there, I won't give you her name, but she has been extremely helpful to me. In fact, one of these days when I go to Montgomery next, I usually bring some fresh chicken eggs or some blueberries or blackberries, and I'm going to meet this lady and I'm going to give her this. But as far as Beth Chapman, the lieutenant governor and the governor, they have lost my and my wife's vote because of that. I just don't see them accommodating the voters as they should be.
Okay. Well, that is a very valid criticism. You know, back to the Forever Wild people and not being able to get in touch with them or them not responding to your inquiries and so forth. I was just thinking, perhaps they're vacationing in Europe or in the Caribbean on our dime, off busy vacationing or something while we pay for it. I don't know.
Well, there could very well be, and I'll give you, this is going to be another one off Forever Wild, and I'd really like to stay with Forever Wild. I'll give you an extra thought to think about. The Alabama Law Institute here in Alabama is in part funded by the state legislature. Well, Senator Ward, is the president of the Alabama Law Institute, and I think, I'm not sure the second one right now at this point in time, but the president and the vice president of the Alabama Law Institute and sponsored legislation in this past legislative session to fund the Alabama Law Institute. Now, I believe there could be a potential for conflict of interest. So this is what goes on in our state government, and we're probably not, and there isn't probably another governmental agency out there that's immune to this stuff. But this is where the Tea Party and folks like you have opened the door so we can share some of our visions and what we have seen and witnessed with folks who have not been able to come to Montgomery. And I'll give you another good example. And this does come anytime, ladies, you want me to shut up, let me know.
we need information.
Well, I really believe in defeating Forever Wild. And what convinced me, I was in Montgomery one day, and I testified along with Don Casey and Ken Freeman for a Senate bill that was introduced by Senator Chad McGill. I've never met Chad, never spoke with him, never shook his hand, so I cannot say that this is a biased opinion. I just go on what his bill said. And his bill would have sat side by, and it's only three of us, outside the legislators, or on our side of the fence, really, witnessed this. Chad McGill's bill would have provided to be on the constitutional ballot here in November. His bill would have sat side by side with the Forever Wild bill. whichever bill, Chad McGill's bill or constitutional amendment, or the Forever Wild, whichever one got the most votes would fly. The other one would fail. Chad McGill's bill would have taken the same percentage in the same under the same situations as Forever Wild would receive. But, however, ladies, 40% of it would have gone to vocational schools. 10% would have gone to rural fire departments. 10% would have gone to rural EMTs. Pregnant teens and seniors would have gotten some of this. And I watched Senator Orr sitting across the table from Gerald Dial, Senator Dial, and Dial said, you know, you're showboating, you're denying the people an opportunity to vote and how this money can be spent. And it was, the amendment was shot down, and the chairman of that committee didn't bring it to a vote. And so those two gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, single-handedly sacrificed. And I'll say this publicly. I've said it before. It's my belief that those two gentlemen sacrificed the students in vocational programs, rural fire departments, and those groups of people to preserve, to ensure there's no competition for Forever Wild on the ballot. Now, let that sink in. That, when I saw that and I witnessed that, that was the time that I really felt that there is more to this than anyone really can understand, and that's when I decided, though the Don Casey pushed me a little bit, but that was the point that I decided this must be defeated. For whatever reason that went on, this must be defeated. And that's where I picked this thing up, invested money right and left, have driven over the state as Don and Ken have, speaking against reinstituting the funding, because the funding did stop on the last day of the fiscal year last year. So they're not receiving any funding right now.
I'm sorry, Mr. Frank. Some of the listeners that have never heard of Forever Wild, I want to say a little bit about the basic, I guess, which is intended supposedly as a benefit to what citizens of this state to enjoy supposedly the wild nature, right? Supposedly, this is something for conservation. But I know that one of the things that most of our listeners are going to be very interested about, besides the fact that really it's a misuse of our state dollars, as you've just pointed out, I think Kayla's on. Let me see. Kayla, I think, wanted to say something, but I hope we didn't lose him. But anyway, I was going to ask you, hi, Kaylin. Hey, let me ask you one thing, Kaylin, to let you on. Kaylin, you need to get off, so go ahead and ask him. I can ask him later. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I just wanted to add that the more to it that you were adding, it has to be something more to it. It's about the consolidation of power within one centralized government over everything, as far as this is their foothold into owning property. And the more property the government gets under Agenda 21, which is released by the UN to help centralize government, on the face of all of this is conservation, but on the back end of it is control and it also divvying up power to private individuals with public money. That's really what it's all about. I just wanted to add that.
Kaylin, may I read a sentence to you and you address it, believing where it may have come from? The sentence in part reads, "To promote a proper balance among population growth and economic development." Where might that statement have come from? Where might it sound like it would have come from?
Yeah, that came directly out of the General Assembly. Yeah.
No, sir. It does sound like it would come from the Agenda 21, as you stated. However, it is a part of Forever Wild, sir. Section 1, subparagraph C, is that verbiage is from that sentence, to promote a proper balance among population growth and economic development, and then it goes on.
Isn't that a United Nations language? Yeah, united language. Making language.
Yeah. And that's what Kaylin just said. There is a connection. Kaylin just said it. There is a connection between Forever Wild and Agenda 21. And it's taken me some time, Kaylin, to actually feel comfortable to come out and agree with you. Until I found that statement, I'm in your camp. Up until I saw that statement, I said, well, no, I still like to know with full confidence that what Frank Dillman is saying is true. Well, buddy, you and I are on the same page. It is.
Well,
promote a proper
balance. Well, Mr. Frank, one of the things that really, I mean, just really adds fuel to the fire as to really that is the honest to goodness truth of it is because of the really, as you had pointed out in one example, you know, here there in Mulberry Fork Wildlife Management Area, they only offer a deer hunt on January 27th and 28th.
Yes, ma'am. But however, they can say that there's hunting on that land now. Can I not? Can they not? And that's
that's
push right now. That's the big push is hunting. We now have some football coaches who have come out, and I understand from somebody. I mean, it's third party. Coach Di and I are actually neighbors by country standards. We both have the same post office, and I understand one of those coaches have come out and. They have received payment now, and that's from a third party, so I won't say which coach or anything else. I've not verified it. But those individuals are now being paid to come out to support this thing, and they probably do not have a clue as far as Agenda 21 or the Wildlands Project or even that one statement that I just read. And those are the ones, unfortunately, that people, I spoke with a young lady right here in my hometown, and I mentioned Coach Di, and she's, oh, is he in support of this thing? And, you know, like the man's, you know, the professor is fully knowledgeable of all of this. I says, yes, he is. He's one of the three, but I don't really know that he knows what I know about this. And I hear, take this literature, read it, and then come back to the website. And so there's individuals out there just put these guys on a pedestal and will vote blindly for something that's going to cost some certainly young people. I'm not going to be around. I may not be around this earth in another 20 years. My warranty may be up. But these young people who are going to be around here for another 20 years, they need to be aware of this stuff and vote no for it.
Indeed. And I think the hunters. How are you able to get across through to a lot of hunters, Mr. Frank?
Well, I don't know that many hunters. I do not hunt, but I don't hold it against individuals that hunt. I mean, it's their recreation. My recreation may be walking at this point in time or anything else, but I have every sign that I have put out in Macon County and Chambers County over the last 2 weeks have been stolen or destroyed. And I don't like to categorize individuals, but I suspect as individuals who are hunters and have listened to these coaches and said this is a bad effort that Frank Dillman's trying to do, and so therefore they're pulling these signs up and vandalizing them. I did speak with a hunter. I'm military retired, and I was shopping at Maxwell Air Force Base one day, and as we were walking to my truck with my groceries, the young man, I guess he was probably in the mid-20s, late-20s, he said, well, he's a hunter. And I said, well, great. Have you ever heard of Forever Wild? And have you been on Forever Wild land? And he looked at me with a real inquisitive look. And he says, what's Forever Wild? So there's individuals out there that do hunt that don't know of this. And I really feel it's by design because Forever Wild is only coming out of their forest. Now, because their financial umbilical cord is being threatened. Did you see any billboards? Did you see any pencils? Did you see any coaches in the last, from year 1 to 18 coming out, telling the entire state as they drive around the interstates that there is such a thing as Forever Wild? I don't recall seeing one. My county now has no less than three of them since the last 9, 10, maybe 12 months. So, it's been a secret. It's been a secret by design, and they're coming out now because their financial umbilical cord is being threatened. And I think that's not only is that misleading, it's unethical, but it's also survival, as one of you two ladies mentioned earlier, it's survival on their behalf. But, you know, there's almost 200 entities that have signed on for this coalition, this PAC, the Alabamians for Forever Wild. It's a PAC, Political Action Committee. They've only been in existence since December. And it's a temporary PAC by the Secretary of State site. They'll probably dissolve on the 7th of November, as my website will. But this PAC has come out strongly for it, and there's cement companies that have signed on with this, and there's other companies that have signed on for this. And in my twisted mind at times, I wonder, why are cement companies signing on to this thing? Well, could it be that Forever Wild lands do need parking lots, and they do need roadways and walkways and foundations laid for public outhouses or buildings and things of this nature? So I just think it's a big mess. And we can go and I can dig into more detail, but I really think that at this point in time, what is known to us should be enough to turn this thing back. And, you know, what a dollar would buy in 1992 now costs us $1.65. The royalties from the gas and oil companies are declining dramatically. In 2006, we collected from those companies $373 million. It's projected in 2016 that it'll be right around $72 million. So there's less money coming into the Gas and Oil Trust Fund, and we have divided that among so many other governmental entities. There's only 33% now staying in that fund. So there's less money coming in, and we have money going out in many different directions. And I really say, as my PowerPoint presentation showed in Dothan, who's going to lose that $300 million? It's us. We're going to be the biggest losers in this thing. And the hunters, as far as I'm concerned, and I even stated on that when I added that comment, if you go to on the Not Forever Wild site, the page that says Alabama is broke or something like that, I just added that on there. And if the hunters realize that they may have been sold out to Dun & Bradstreet, because they're the finance company, or even Moody's, they're going to see locked gates as well. You know, they believe right now in the short run, or maybe even the long run, they're going to have hunting access continuously for their entire life. Well, Ken Freeman used to live out west, and we could take a look at any map, certainly the Wildlands Project, out west, and we can see how much government land out there. And government doesn't manage their land any better than a private forest, which leads me to another point, if I can take another point. May I take another point?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We have to take a look at private and public lands. Imagine, if you would, we have two plots of land. We have 100 acres of same-age pine trees planted over here on my neighbor's property. And we have 100 acres of the same condition trees that are planted on government land. Now, the government trees are going to behave any differently or any better than the trees planted on my neighbor's land? No. They're going to filter the water. They're going to filter the air. They're going to provide habitat for the same animals. So there's no difference between those two plots of trees on an environmental issue. However, on a financial issue, there is, because my neighbor, when he harvests those trees, or he has individuals come in there and do a controlled burn or put in a fire break or whatever, that's going to generate revenue and taxes that the local county is going to realize. That public land, as we all know, does not generate taxes. And I took that a step further. I don't hunt, so I called my probate office. And I said, I've been told that hunting licenses and fishing licenses generate tons and tons and tons of money for the county. And so, therefore, my position is incorrect. I shouldn't take the position that I am. So I called the probate office. Well, the hunting license was $24. And I asked her, I said, okay, well, how much stays in the county? $1. So there's $23 of that that goes to the bigger government in Montgomery for whatever they're using it for. There was somebody that blogged recently in one of the areas that I've been hanging out on lately that, you know, that helps the police department and things of this nature and the sheriff's department. Well, we just took care of all those, not the sheriff's department because that's county, the highway patrol. But that would take care of them, but we just took care of all of that on the 18th of September. But I just see the big government is feeding at the trough, and they're getting bigger and bigger.
Indeed they are. And, Kaylin, you're one of those young people. I know that you're very concerned about the future. It's like we have just put a mountain of debt on your generation's shoulders, and Forever Wild is going to be one of those. So, Kaylin, are you still on?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Yeah, the debt is just a means to an end, and I've been saying for a long time, and this isn't conspiracy talk, this is just common sense. When you begin to acquire so much debt to the point where the number itself can't be real, you can't imagine $1 trillion, you know, you can barely imagine $1 billion anywhere. When you begin to understand that it's the whole system's a house of cards, but it's almost like the government puts regulations in place knowing that counties and cities need money to run basic functions, but in the long run, they know that if the money runs out, who they're going to run to? They're all going to run to the big government, federal government, or you know, they'll run to the run to Montgomery for things that they need. And once you give government permission to start funding anything or doing anything, then the people no longer have a place, because now the way the government is ran, the people are no longer an issue. They're not looked at as important, and that's dangerous. When you start looking at how large the government has grown, and that's how I feel about that, especially when dealing with the trust fund, especially when you see on our ballots things that are not true, that are meant to scare people into voting a certain way. That's just, you know, disgusting in my opinion.
Well, I like the young man. I like that young man. We need more of you, Mr. Kaylin.
Mr. Dillon, I will send you his email. You need to have him come and speak at your Tea Party group. He's very encouraging to our little group, but he's really shining the light, and I think we need, like you, we need more of Kaylin. But we're here at the bottom of the show, and, you know, my attention has been so focused on Common Core standards that I hate to say this, but the first time I really paid attention to it was in September, and because I could not believe that here's this trust fund, and for some reason that this funding for Forever Wild is on that stature. And I thought, what is up with this? Something's wrong here, you know. So I think I'm hoping Alabamans will wake up. And, Mr. Darrell, thank you so much, sir. We can't put out all the fires. There's so many, but we thank God that you're helping put out that fire with that great information. This is money we don't need to burn. It means my goodness, would you know, I just think another day, I feel so sorry for the people that are out of work. You know, it's not just finances that's suffering. You know, it's emotional. You know, it's probably divorces in the making somewhere along the way, and even children that have gone astray because they hear mom and daddy fighting. So really, when you're talking about finances, you're really trying to love your brother and trying to direct the state of Alabama to do a better job of serving the people, because it really amounts to families. Our families are hurting. And we need to be wise with that money. So thank you so much, sir. You're fighting for our families.
Well, one quick thing. May I speak with Kaylin? Can you connect me with Kaylin a little bit just off the air? I'd like to speak.
Well, I will give Kalen your phone number. If that's all right,
sure.
Can you call him, Kalen, or text him?
Yeah.
I don't know if what I'm looking at is a text message for you. It's a cell phone number for you that I'm looking at, Mr. Frank. Is that a cell phone number or is that a home phone number?
No, I only have a cell phone number.
Okay, then I will send you a text of Kalen's number, and we can do it that way if you don't mind, because I have no way to really put you all on the side. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close. And Kalen, as always, we like to close this in prayer because we know the problems are big. But our God is almighty, and I know that you love to give everything to him in prayer. So would you mind doing that for our state of Alabama and really the rest of this country? This is just a smidgen here in Alabama, but it's happening in every state. Every state's coffers is being pressed to the point that I hate to say the legislature is stealing in subtle ways from the people. So if you don't mind, Kalen, pray for us, sir.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Father God, for your light that shines and drives the darkness back. Father, we just thank you right now, Father, that we have a remnant in this country, Father God, that will still bow its knee to you, Father God, and will not bow its knee to Baal, will not turn its back on you, Father God. We just ask that you restore, Lord God, our country, Father God, restore the people, Lord God. Give them hope, Father God, that is Jesus, Lord God. We just thank you right now for all the things you're doing right now, Father God. We thank you right now for the many battles that we have to fight, but we thank you that we have the opportunity to fight, Father God, and we thank you right now, Jesus, that you'll empower us, Father God, and strengthen us, Lord, and give us wisdom when we speak, Father God, and let us speak with grace on our lips, Father God, and we just want to thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Frank. The things that you said about those amendments, I'm going to put question marks on those that you pointed out. But if you don't mind, give the people your website so they can also look at your website so that they can find out more information.
Yes, ma'am. My Not Forever Wild website is just that, notforeverwild.org. And my personal website where I was speaking about some of the constitutional amendments is frankdillman.com/elections.htm, not HTML because it won't work, HTM.
Okay.
And
well, thank
anybody,
you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. And, Kalen, you're a bang-up guy, and I'm most impressed. And I have one more point that I'd like to share with you. And so if we can speak about that, great. But I'm impressed. You're a good young man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll give you a call.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you both, and thank you. We lost Ms. Barbara, but thank you, listeners. May God shine his face upon you, and please tune in tomorrow with Mr. Henry Burke. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.